Atheist Nomads, episode 321, The Current Crisis Around Vaping.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And we have Kylie here with us, too.
Good girl.
So it's just going to be the three of us today, but there's plenty to talk about. We do have Camp Nomad coming up, and if you haven't RSVP'd yet, it is probably too late. You still might be able to, but we're right on the line.
But we're going to ignore you, because right now we have a room for everybody.
Yep. Let's go ahead and start with Dustin off the degree, which is kind of a two-parter, since this is kind of the prerequisite material for some of what we'll be talking.
Okay, sweetie. Very nice. She counted down for you to start.
Yep. Some of this will be kind of prerequisite for the Dustin Off the Green next week that we'll be recording at Camp Nomad. That will be relevant for the location that we're in. So first, we need to talk about the relationship between religion and culture. And
besides the duh stuff, or expanding upon the duh stuff?
Going beyond the duh, because it's really easy to look at it and think duh, but you miss out on a lot if you do that.
As with most things.
Right. So one of the best examples for this is on how closely related they are, is if you look at the Balkans. So the three main countries and people groups of the Balkans, we're going to ignore the Albanians.
Oh.
They're not relevant to this particular discussion. Okay. They're their own group.
They're not relevant.
But the Serbs, Croats, and Bosnians. And Serb and Croat are terms that are distinct from Serbian and Bosnian. Serbian and Croatian would be terms related to, are you from Serbia or Croatia? Whereas Serb means you are a South Slavic Orthodox Christian or from a South Slavic Orthodox family. Bosnian means that you are a South Slavic Muslim or from a South Slavic Muslim family, and Croat means that you are from a South Slavic Catholic family.
Okay.
They are ethnically indistinguishable, the three groups. They're all South Slavic. While they claim their languages are different, they are 100% mutually intelligible.
So not different enough.
Like, we're talking...
Or not different at all.
We're talking, it would be more accurate to say that American English and British English are different languages than to say that Bosnian and Croatian are different languages.
Okay. Sounds like a point of pride more than an actual...
It's when you're trying to create a national identity, language is key to having a people group. And if you're wanting to distinguish your people group from another people group, you definitely want it to be your own language.
Even if it's the same language that's called a different name?
Yep. Okay. All because of religion.
Okay. Okay.
Because ultimately, the big difference between them is religion and culture. You have a very different culture between a Bosnian Muslim and a Bosnian Croat, even though they're both live in modern Bosnia. Being from the different nationality, they have different... and different religion, their cultures are distinct. A lot of similarities, but distinct. You can see the same thing pretty easily in India and Pakistan, where Punjabi and Hindi are about 90% mutually intelligible.
But it depends on what religion you are.
Yep. If you are... Punjabi is written in a Arabic-style script, and Hindi is written in a Sanskrit-style script. Hindi is the preferred name of the language for Hindus.
Right.
And Punjabi is the preferred name of the language if you are Muslim.
Okay, fair enough.
And culturally,
but spoken out loud, they're the same.
Basically,
it's just written differently.
The it's just different, a different, different script. It's like you can write.
Oh, like
you can write English in a non-Latin script. It would still be English, but you just wouldn't be able to read it if you don't, if you aren't familiar with how to read that script. If you are familiar with how to read that script, you could pretty quickly flip it in your brain to make sense. And if you live in that area, odds are you know how to read it both ways.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter. And across the Greek, Cyrillic, Arabic, Sanskrit, and Latin scripts, there are a decent number of cases where the language uses the script of the religion they're a part of, even if a different part of that same group speaks the same language but different religion, they use the script of their language. You'll see that in some places where Latin script gets used for the Catholic side and Cyrillic script gets used for Orthodox.
Okay.
Even if otherwise indistinguishable language. Obviously, religion and culture have major connections there. When you see a immigrant group move from one area to another, take, for example, Greek people, when they move to, say, Boise, for example. Boise does not have a Greek culture. Boise also doesn't have a large Eastern Orthodox population. So Greeks that move to Boise have a tendency to associate with the Greek Orthodox Church here. And the religion keeps their culture alive.
Okay, yeah.
It ends up being the cultural center. The Greek food festival takes place at the Greek Orthodox Church because they are celebrating Greek culture, which
Greekiness.
Is indistinguishable from Greek Orthodoxy in the way that they use it. You can also see with Jewish people where even with the, like the Reformed Jews are pretty secular and not religious. They still have services. They still go through the holidays because maintaining elements of the religion is important to them to maintain their culture.
Which we also see here in Boise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, most cities you would see this.
And our synagogue, I believe, is...
It's like we have a synagogue, we've got Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, we've got an Islamic center.
Mm-hmm.
Go to each of those places, and it's more than just the religion. It's definitely... They almost all have food festivals.
Yep.
Thank you, by the way.
You can also see it when missionaries go abroad. One kind of hilarious example I heard about in my college days was in the 1950s, an Adventist missionary went to somewhere in Africa where the women wore skirts from the waist to the ankle, but were topless. The missionary got to this village and started converting the people and convinced them to improve their modesty by raising these skirts up to going armpit to knee instead of waist to ankle. The women all agreed to do it. They moved their skirts. And as the story is told, the amount of infidelity and promiscuity that happened went through the roof because all of a sudden women were showing off the sexy parts of their body.
Them sexy ankles.
Now, I don't know if any of that's actually true.
It's a cute story, though.
It's a cute story that shows the point of when missionaries go out, they take with them more than their religion. They bring their culture with them. And part of converting somebody to your religion is converting them to your culture.
I think it would be hilarious if we went out sometime and found some little island nation or some little section in Africa where it's this perfect 1950s American nuclear family. Everybody's got green lawns, white picket fences. They're all named Dave.
You can find that.
Ugh.
Maybe not white picket fences and green lawns, but yeah, you can find.
Everybody speaks in a mid-Atlantic accent.
It doesn't go quite that far, but
watch out for that Hitler. He's a bad egg.
You end up also seeing it with. When the children of those missionaries who grow up out in the mission field, or the people they convert, rise to power within that religion, because they bring back with them the religion, culture, and biases of when they left the U.S. or Europe or wherever it was they started from. The Adventist Church has seen this numerous times where missionaries go out and they convert people and their kids grow up in the mission field, and then their kids go back to the U.S., become pastors, spend most of their time in the mission field, rise up to General Conference President, and try to turn everything back 40 years.
Gays are okay. What? Since when?
Yeah. So,
since you've been hiding under a rock.
The Methodists are seeing it right now, where people they've converted around the world, including in countries where homosexuality was not a problem until the missionaries arrived, are now dealing with predominantly non-white church members from places that had been until recently the mission field, in some cases still are the mission field, having most of the members and most of the voting power, and were able to vote down any changes to church policy to be more open to gay people. Because American Methodists exported homophobia to the world.
Well, all the religions did.
All did. But in this particular case, Methodists exported homophobia, and that homophobia is coming back now that the Americans have moved on past it.
Some have.
Some. Within the Methodist Church, most have moved past that. The rest of the world is still stuck with their bigotry from
your culture will continue to come back and bite you in the butt.
Yep. And Lauren, we were even talking about it after we saw your family most recently. Your Welsh ancestors were converted in Wales by Mormon missionaries and then asked to come back to the U.S. or move to the U.S., which they did. Founded the, largest Welsh community outside of Wales?
Yes, the largest, Welsh population, yeah.
And then they now support, or continue to have, what is it they call it, their Welsh festival in Malad?
The Eisteddfod, the Malad okay. Welsh festival.
And
Eisteddfod.
How Welsh is it?
Not very. So my sister and I were commenting that we were going to, Heather was dismayed that nobody spoke Welsh. Well, why would they?
Right.
Right? There are at least three generations separated from anybody who was Welsh. And apparently, many of those people who moved over here from Wales weren't even first generation Welsh. They were English who moved to Wales, who moved to Idaho. Okay. So how Welsh is it? Meh. It's just enough to be able to claim Welsh pride, but not actually show it.
Now, how Mormon did it feel?
So Mormon. So it definitely felt like a ward meeting, showing off their genealogy, and that was most of what they were celebrating.
So then when they had these Welsh or people living in Wales, had them move, they didn't maintain Welsh culture, they just became Mormons.
They became Mormons, and then years later, they said, hey, remember, our grandparents were from Wales? We should have Welsh pride, because everybody in America, despite it being a melting pot, has to hang on to some kind of nationalistic pride. So, yeah.
All right. And that will be relevant to next week, when we'll be talking about Mormon colonies.
Hilarious.
All right, so believe it or not, that break was actually about 4 hours.
Yeah. Kylie's in bed.
Yep, we got the dogs to the dog park and had some food and got Kylie to bed finally. And
we decided that it wasn't worth trying when Kylie is deciding to actively participate.
Oh, yeah.
All right, anyway.
Okay, so we're going to start off the news trying to dig into the whole vaping crisis thing that's been all over the news.
Oh, yes, this is Dustin's soapbox, everybody, so just hang tight.
So, okay. So what we've seen so far is hundreds of people this year have been hospitalized. At least six so far have died from something related to vaping. And if you look at what's been going on in the media, a lot of us just saying, oh, they're just using e-cigs and it's killing them. And a lot of public health organizations have been trying to say, don't vape. Well, the CDC and FDA issued warnings last week about it.
Psh, that was a whole week ago, Dustin.
Yeah.
Old news.
The CDC one said, yeah, you should not vape anything until they get this all figured out. The FDA's one was, don't vape anything off the black market.
Ah, that makes more sense.
Uh-huh.
Because all of these, most of these, I don't know if all, but most of these hospitalizations have been black market vapes.
Black market THC vapes.
Ah, yeah. So.
Yeah. And a lot of the reporting on it has been
congrats to
incomplete.
The, what, six states that have it legalized? But everybody else, yeah. Check your sources.
Right. And so, like, okay, if you look at one of the things that I've seen with it is California, since they legalized recreational marijuana, most of their marijuana growth is going on to the legal market, as opposed to providing marijuana for the entire country.
Yeah, which is what it used to do.
Especially since Oregon's also legal market now, too. So, okay, Oregon and California have basically done all the marijuana for a long time.
Yeah, they're flush with it.
Yeah, because, yeah, when you have enough to supply basically the entire country, and then all of a sudden you have a legal market, and why continue selling to the black market and run that risk? Yeah, that makes sense. So, black market has been having some supply chain issues. So there were some companies that were selling thinners and thickeners. And the thickener is vitamin C acetate, which the FDA and CDC investigation is finding. You know, the FDA has looked at quite a few of these vapes that they've gotten from patients. It's gotten sent off to them. Most have just been using, well, most have used both THC and nicotine vapes, and some just THC, some just nicotine. All the ones with deaths have been THC vapes with thinners and vitamin E acetate thickener.
In fact, they just busted a couple brothers in, what was it, Minnesota? I think it was Minnesota. They just raided their house this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, they walked in and said, oh, crap, because there was boxes upon boxes of vape juice and vitamin E stuff. And it was two brothers, both in their early 20s, who decided to supplement the black market with their thinners. Right.
And one of the things that apparently people on the black market, when they're the customers, when they're looking at these sealed cartridges with THC liquids in it, they're checking the consistency to see if it's decent quality. What's the thickness, the viscosity, and the like, and to try to thin it out so that they can make it the supply last longer, they've been adding thinners and then, adding a thickener on top
of it. Yeah, but then trying to get around that by supplementing.
Yeah.
So if you think you know what you're doing when you're buying this stuff by looking it over, it doesn't matter anymore. It's that they've got it down to a formula.
Now, three or four of the vendors that have been selling these thinners and thickeners have yanked them all from their websites, which is pretty smart because otherwise, they're probably heading to jail. Decent chance they might be heading to jail, or at least getting major lawsuits. So, this is one of those. What we've seen has been a lot of just not necessarily completely misreporting, but just underreporting what's going on.
Underreporting, and we're only just now starting to get the science stuff in.
Right.
You got it early because you've been searching deep for it because you've got a personal thing in this. I only noticed today some of the stuff that you've been commenting on for the past week is actually showing up on headlines.
Right.
So that's, that's good. Some people are definitely pulling back on their panic. The whole let's ban all flavored e-cigs. It's like, okay, that's great, but you're not going to touch cigarettes?
Uh-huh.
What?
Well, okay, and for one...
How hypocritical is that?
For one good example, Trump used September 11, other than just making a new claim for how
other
he
than
spent
BSing
that day back in 2001, also announcing that they were going to ban all non-tobacco flavors in e-cigs.
Make e-cigs taste just as bad as cigarettes so people won't bother trying to switch.
So that kids won't.
Oh, yeah.
make it so that, that teens won't vape because it'll taste like crap as a solution to this epidemic, which, no, that is not the solution to it.
No, it's not.
All that would do is increase the size of the black market, which is the opposite of a solution.
And doesn't actually talk about the THC stuff at all.
Right. If we want an actual solution to this issue, legalize marijuana across the entire nation. Create a regulated market. Yes, the vaping industry does need... The current legal vaping industry does need more regulation. Courts right now are trying to speed up the regulating process. This is something that's only 12 years old. Yeah,
you say it like
old.
That, it makes it sound like they're going super slow at regulating this.
They are, but it is still new enough and changing quickly enough. Like, realistically, we're on third generation, maybe even fourth generation devices. It takes quite a few changes before it starts settling down. And we're finally starting to get to that point where it's starting to settle down to where you can actually do some kind of meaningful regulation.
Yeah.
But they need to actually look at it and have the time to figure out how do you regulate something.
Plus, teenagers ruin everything.
Yeah, that's definitely
there was
true.
An article in on the news about a teenager who was, he called it juuling for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. He juuled for 10 hours straight, just puffing, and his lung collapsed.
Ooh.
It's like, that's because you're doing it wrong.
Right.
That shouldn't even have even been given a headline, because just like anything, if you overdo it, and teenagers will overdo anything because they're dumb.
Right. Teenagers will huff paint.
They can't help themselves. Their brains literally have not developed enough to say, hey, maybe this isn't a good idea. That's what the regulation is supposed to step in and help with.
Yeah. Well, heck, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, whenever it was, teens were dusting, turning the canned air
bottles
upside down and spraying the contents into their lungs.
Because it's cold.
Yeah.
And apparently tastes awful because I accidentally did that to somebody once.
But also can make you high.
Okay.
As it fills up your lungs.
Tide Pods.
Yeah, teens do stupid things. Yep. And nobody's talking about banning Tide Pods.
But that's beside the point.
Okay, but
they talked about it.
And with the canned air, nobody tried to ban those. They just made it so you could only buy it if you're 18 or older, which is reasonable.
And yeah, but it also doesn't keep it out of teenagers' hands at all.
No. No, because you can't prevent stupid people from doing stupid things.
And there's always one there's always a couple people in the senior class who are older than 18, mm-hmm, who supply everybody else in school.
Which is also one reason why there is more moves towards going to 21.
I'm surprised I never got sucked into that. I was 19 when I graduated. Oh well.
Yeah.
I was a nerd.
But so then with the with some of the stuff with vaping, Michigan is doing a ban of all non-tobacco or menthol flavors. Trump might be doing that. All that will do is make it so that adult smokers won't switch. Pure and simple.
Yeah. If you make it difficult to get, and if you make it taste as bad as the stuff you're already on, nobody's going to bother.
Especially since, like,
unless you're one of the very small percentage that are actually concerned about blowing smoke in people's faces.
But like, I know from wait, what?
Unless you're a person who smokes cigarettes and you actually feel bad about blowing smoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very small percentage of people.
Right. But like, I know from back in 2012 when I made the switch, the tobacco flavors were what I needed to make that switch until my sense of smell and taste recovered. And then the tobacco flavors tasted like shit.
Well, maybe you would have quit if you didn't have any other options.
No, I would have gone back to cigarettes and blown out the sense of smell and taste again.
Oh, that's a stupid way of doing it.
Yeah.
But there you go.
That's realistic, though, of how most people would handle stuff like this. I think enough damage has been done that this is a lost cause, which is unfortunate.
Because tobacco and tobacco products are a major health crisis.
Yes.
Has been for decades, and nobody is still doing anything about the main products. Just yep. All the replacement products.
Oh, and also every time...
Gee, sounds like some large corporate business is stepping in and squashing all competition.
Yep. And even when you see the headlines around the teen vaping epidemic, the increasing rates of teens vaping, teens are always going to do stupid things, and at least fewer teens are smoking.
Way fewer teens are smoking.
Those headlines are never there.
Yeah. You never see about the... Because if you're a teenager and your choice is to vape something that doesn't leave a smell,
mm-hmm.
that is harder to trace and is quote-unquote healthier for you because you're not combusting tar, you're always going to go for the cleaner product and a stinky, smelly cigarette because you're going to get busted.
Yep.
So, yeah, of course they're going to switch to vaping. But it's harm reduction.
Right.
Not harm elimination, because kids are going to do something nicotine-related either way, because it's, well, look what it does. It's a stimulant, right?
Right. And if you look...
Kids with caffeine. Teenagers, high schoolers right. especially, they can't survive on and not caffeine.
And if you look at the stats, for like the last 20, 30 years, the number of kids using nicotine... The teenagers using nicotine-containing products has been basically steady. The number who are going with cigarettes has been declining. That's a win.
Yeah, it is. That's a lot less lung cancer and all sorts of baddies.
We should have headlines about that, but nope. Have to keep the paranoia and fear up.
Yep, because that sells newspapers.
Yeah. Now, all that being said...
And allows you to bypass the fact that you weren't down at the grounds of September 11th helping yeah. out.
Now, all that being said, what they are finding is that the it's looking like the vitamin E acetate in the THC thinned out vapes, it is being considered an adulterant because it shouldn't be in there.
Right.
It is leaving a lipid film in the lungs, which is then causing macrophages, which is an immune cell, to go
white
into
blood
the lungs
cell?
And clean it up. They are finding in biopsies and tests a lot of lipid-laden macrophages. This is bad enough that it is killing people by making it so they cannot breathe.
Yeah, fats don't belong in the lungs.
No, no. And with the marijuana vaping, marijuana is a fat-soluble, the THC is fat-soluble, so you need to be working with fat-soluble compounds. Fat-soluble compounds means you're working with a bunch of fat-based
solutions. Yeah, it should not be in your lungs.
And that's what you're vaporizing. With the nicotine stuff, it's all water-soluble. Literally all of it's water-soluble. You do not want to ever touch anything that's fat-soluble, flavoring-wise, because it'll just gunk everything up.
Yeah.
And also gunk up your lungs. Now, to be fair... What it is kind of looking like is, because there was a mouse study, and yes, mouse studies are not necessarily completely transferable to human health, but they are definitely helpful in figuring things out. There was one that was just released earlier this month, looking at the health effects of vaping versus smoking versus neither on the lungs of mice.
What they should have done is thrown in another one with urban air pollution.
Yes, they should have.
That would have been awesome. Just to throw in an extra little, yeah. Hey, is this worse than what you're breathing every day?
They compared for the vaping portion of the study. They did compare one group had PGVG, so propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, and nicotine. And the other group had propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, no nicotine. Neither group had any flavorings to try to keep it as uniform and basic as possible. And they found in the vaping groups that there was lipid-laden macrophages in the lung tissue.
Okay.
So it is conceivable that the increased risk of pneumonia that has been observed with standard nicotine vaping, that this could actually be not standard pneumonia, but lipid-laden macrophages.
Which is why it's important to be honest with your doctor.
Right.
Just throwing that out there. Don't try to make it sound better than it is.
Now, if your doctor starts spewing off a bunch of bullshit studies that are actually bullshit studies, and when you look at various vaping studies, a lot of them are really bad, not done well, where the methodology is just completely not real world at all. Those studies are useless. And if your doctor is spouting those off, that's not helpful. Use it as an opportunity to try to educate your doctor about why those studies are bullshit, since they can't read everything or know how everything works.
Right.
But it is useful for them to know what you're doing. So it does look like any vaping can cause some of this, but to the level that is causing hospitalizations and death, it's THC, especially with this vitamin E acetate. So
if you can't ID your supplier, don't use it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And if you don't trust your supplier, don't.
Not the dealer. We're talking about the actual maker.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I think that's enough on that topic. Let's go ahead and move on to some other news.
Soapbox done.
Pope Francis talked to some reporters in English on a recent flight, and he was strangely, what's the right word here? Lucid's not the right word. Forthcoming in some of his feelings about things. In particular, he's kind of happy that there's a lot of American conservatives mad at him.
He didn't say why. What's the context here?
The context was he was being asked about some of the flack he's getting from especially American conservative Catholics, Cardinal Burke and his ilk.
Who's Cardinal Burke and what did he do?
He's a very high-ranking Catholic bishop in the U.S. who is like one of the most conservative Catholics in the world.
Oh, okay.
And very outspoken in opposition of the Pope. There are a fair number of conservative Catholics that are calling for Pope Francis to resign. They routinely criticize him. And his response to all of this was, he's glad the American conservatives are mad at him because that probably means that he's doing okay.
Yeah.
He's also said that he's not afraid of a schism because schisms happen.
You just said the word of the day. Ding, 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 schism. Sorry.
Yeah, he acknowledged those happen. And when they do, it's usually somebody who is kind of an elite who has their own opinion on how things should be run that goes against everybody else. So they try to split off and take some people with them. It just is true.
Yeah.
You don't get schisms from low ranking nobodies.
No.
They can't get the support.
Or the money.
Yeah.
It's all about the money. He's like, Americans? Oh yeah, just let them split off. I don't care.
Yeah, so it's just kind of weird seeing that one.
Nice. He's still a terrible person, but nice.
Oh, horrible. And Tim Kelly is a member of the Cedar Park City Council in Texas. Just got elected in May. And he posted on Facebook, not only on watch over Cedar Park during the day, but on watch in the wee hours of the morning. My prayers and intercession against the witches and Satan worshippers begin at 3 a.m. on this full moon of Friday the 13th.
Oh, my God.
The power that is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ trumps your soul-sealing sorcery.
Oh, my God.
What you ask against others will be directed back at you in Jesus' name.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I knew, I am kicking myself for not somehow celebrating Friday the 13th with a full moon. Mm-hmm. That was too cool of a coincidence to just let go. That's my bad. I can't believe I didn't think about the crazy people. Not the crazy people who use it as a celebration of like satanic cult witch stuff. The pagans will do their thing, whatever.
Yeah.
They're just keeping it in their own homes. It's these guys. who think that they're protecting the world from these imaginary witches and goblins.
And Satan worshippers.
And Satan worshippers, which there aren't a whole lot of. And there's certain Cedar Park?
Cedar Park, Texas.
And what is he doing at 3 a.m.? Is he just going out to this? Does he just has an alarm set on his phone and he starts praying? Or is he actually like going out and...
I don't know.
He's just anything to win votes, man. I'm up every day at 3 a.m.
And how can you get more...
Casting prayers on Satanists.
Yeah. Oh, like, not Satanists. Satan worshippers.
Satan worshippers.
At least he knows the difference there.
Yeah. Sounds like insomnia to me. But there you go, Texas. You elected him.
Well, Cedar Park, Texas did.
Cedar Park. I'm sorry, Cedar Park. You probably deserve better.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm always willing to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, yeah.
Just people get stuck in the weirdest places.
But yeah.
Prayers. Oh, God. Satan worshipers. I love it.
And
I wish I had a t-shirt. Witches and Satan worshipers.
And the shed blood of Jesus trumps your soul-stealing sorcery.
He basically said, I'm rubber, you're glue. What bounces off of me will stick to you. With prayer.
Yeah.
Aw, he thinks he's doing something.
Well, and what's especially funny with it is, in the New Testament, it does talk about triumphing over demons in Jesus' name. You can do that through the magic and power of Jesus' name. Nothing about his blood.
Well, that's just wine anyway, right? So he gets up at 3 a.m.
Oh, he's not Catholic. That's only Catholics that believe it's...
I was going to say, starts chugging.
Into, yeah, no.
And then goes out and yells Jesus' name because that's where all the power apparently is. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And drives out the witches because they can't stand listening to somebody yell Jesus, Jesus, Jesus at them.
And what's even funnier...
Believable.
What's even funnier here is he's freaking out about witches and Satan worshippers in the parks and talking about blood himself and the blood being on his side.
That just makes it kind of murky.
Especially since what they're afraid of is witches and Satan worshippers doing blood magic.
In a public park?
Yeah.
Is this really a big problem in Cedar Park?
It's never been a big problem anywhere.
I guess they can't prove that he didn't prevent witches and Satan worshippers. So, there you go.
It's something that's never happened.
Right.
So
instant win, I guess?
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see this next election.
Yeah. Brainerd, Minnesota, school board chairwoman is up next. Sue Kern, at one of their board meetings, had a question after the presentation was completed on the revised biology curriculum.
Uh-oh. I can see where this
state
is going.
Passed.
Okay.
Yeah, so, her question was, and I quote, you know, Darwin's theory was done in the mid-1800s, and it's never been proven, so I'm wondering why we're still teaching it.
Because it holds up? I mean, like, any reason we teach stuff that was learned back in the good old days and continues on with plenty of support?
Yeah.
I get what she's trying to do, but... That
Newton's
doesn't work. Newton's law of theory.
Newton's theories were done in the mid-1600s, and we're still teaching those. Why is that? Why do we teach about gravity?
This is anti-education.
Well, it's pure ignorance of what the terms even mean.
Yeah.
And what evolution even is.
And they think they found a cool little loophole. It's like, answer that question, losers. And everybody's like rolling their eyes so hard that they can't even. And all you can do is say, no, sit down, please.
She's the board chair. She has the gavel. You can't tell her to sit down.
Sit down. Just sit.
Oh, man.
I guess, what do they think? Creationism is older than evolution?
No. So what she's thinking is that because she's ignorant of actual modern evolutionary theory, and the only thing she's heard, I'm going to assume, is much like what I learned in my Christian education growing up, is problems that have been identified in evolutionary theory. What they don't teach you about is how the actual legitimate problems that were found were then corrected and the theory moved on, because that's how science works.
Yeah.
You figure out the parts that aren't correct and you fix those. And then you keep on getting better and better and better. Creationists like to look at any of those as, oh, that's a big deal. Creationists also like to look at one-offs that aren't relevant to evolutionary theory at all and make a big case out of that. And
like, do you have an example?
Some lake in Colorado that had been assumed under standard geological models to be taking 100,000 years to fill up that actually only took a century.
Oh, okay.
Fine. There were some shellfish that living specimen carbon dated to 13,000 years old.
Oh, yeah. That was the stuff that I was told in seventh grade science class. This is why evolution is BS, basically.
Which
it's like, that's okay.
And that one,
even if you don't include any of the carbon dating stuff, there's still all this other. Anyway,
right. Well, and with
preaching to a crowd here on that one, but
the 13,000 year old living shellfish, that one was an easy one to explain because it's the carbon that was available for that shellfish to be consuming is why its shell was dated that old. So anyway, easily explained. So what she's thinking is that evolution is just a theory, not a fact or a law, because she doesn't know what fact, law, and theory mean.
Yeah.
So theories are things that have not been proven. And if you're calling it a theory, then it hasn't been proven yet.
And if it hasn't been proven in the past 150 years, it should just be
thrown out.
Thrown out.
Yep.
Because you should have proved it by now.
And her pastor says it didn't happen, so... Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So in Tennessee, Pastor Chad Dial of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Springfield, Tennessee, is also a coach at the Springfield High School for their football team.
Oh, I see where this is going. Because that in itself is no big deal.
Not a problem yet.
Nope.
He conducted baptisms of players.
Yeah.
On the football team.
As is common practice, apparently, throughout America.
Which, still, not necessarily an issue.
Yeah, it is.
The whole team was present for these baptisms, and it was on the football field.
Yeah, probably during practice.
So a school employee was on school property at a school function with students promoting religion to students that he has a direct position of authority over.
Right. Yeah, you want to play next game? You better get baptized.
Yep.
You don't want to get ridiculed by all the other Bible-thumping classmates? You better get baptized.
The ones who all got baptized at 12 and... Nope. Oh, these two kids haven't been. No, it's your turn. Why are you waiting? You could die in a car accident tomorrow.
We're not going to start practice until you accept Jesus into your heart. That's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. So
It's very similar to the Tacoma thing that happened a while ago, right? He got sued for...
That one was... He was leading prayers after the game was done at the 50-yard line, and students were joining in.
Oh, okay.
And got fired for refusing to stop.
Okay.
So then he sued. This is very different from that.
You're right. That is very different. I've just heard this exact scenario happen so often that it's...
Yeah.
It's become a parody of itself, almost, except it keeps happening.
And is incredibly illegal under every standard that we have seen to date from any court.
I wish students and the parents of these students, well, obviously somebody stood up to it at some point, because otherwise nobody would have blinked an eye at it.
Somebody reported it to the FFRF.
Yeah.
And the FFRF has sent letters off asking them to stop.
Yeah. Those kids who just suffer in silence... You know, you're in high school, you're almost adults, it's time to step up and just say, no, this is wrong. I know, it's hard, and you'll get laughed at, you'll get ostracized, but you'll also find some really good friends who have also been suffering in silence. That's my take on it.
Yeah. All right, and for our final news story. Ted Cruz got in a Twitter fight with Alyssa Milano.
I love it. Celebrity name, Twitter fight, hilarity.
Yes. And so the fight was over guns.
Okay.
And Cruz decided to quote from the Bible to support his viewpoint on guns.
Yeah.
So,
as many do.
So the fight started when Milano asked for a Bible verse supporting the right to own a gun. And Ted Cruz had one.
Okay.
Which is interesting considering guns are a very modern invention.
Yeah, but you can find anything relevant to whatever you want to support.
So here's his choice. It's Exodus 22, verse 2. If a thief is caught breaking in at night and is struck a fatal blow, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed.
That is... Okay, wow. I see where he's going with that. The stand your ground thing as it pertains to gun violence, though?
Well...
You have the...
Even more...
That's terrible.
The very next verse says that if somebody breaks into your home and you kill them in the daytime, you're guilty of murder.
God.
So according to the passage he's referencing, stand your ground in the dark. This is reasonable that if you're going to fight off an attacker in your home at night and you accidentally kill the person because you can't see what you're doing, fine. You get the benefit of the doubt. But if you know you're killing the person, you're a murderer.
Yeah.
If you shoot someone with a gun, you know you're killing that
100%
person. 100%.
You do not draw and shoot a gun unless you expect to kill somebody. That's like number one rule in gun safety. It's like you do not pull it out and use it unless you expect somebody to make a fatal shot, because you can't half-ass it.
Right.
Can't half-ass your intentions.
So if that's the
best...
That
was I've heard different ones. Yeah. And that one's terrible. That's it. Something about swords. I don't know.
Beat your swords into plowshares?
No. Something about...
Oh, Jesus says sell your cloak and buy a sword.
Yeah, that one. I hear that one all the time.
Which isn't even relevant to modern life anyway.
Well,
in the context of what he was talking about.
From a loose perspective, though, it means, you know, have something to defend yourself with, I guess. I don't know what the reference for that particular quote is, but I hear that one from NRA thumpers all the time.
Okay, so that is Luke 22:36-38. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered with his transgressors, and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, 'See, Lord, here are two swords.' 'That's enough,' he replied."
That's what? I'm sorry, I don't follow Bible speak very well.
So at the Last Supper, Jesus was saying, "They're going to come and kill me. Pack a bag so you're ready to run, and if you don't have a sword, get one."
Oh, okay.
Because they were going to come and kill him and probably be after them next. He was talking about a very specific situation for literally that weekend.
Yeah.
Not generally applicable to life as a whole, even in the context of the story.
I guess people's view them as the government and themselves as Jesus and his disciples. The government's going to come for your guns.
And he even thought two swords for a group of 13 people was good enough. Yeah, that's fine.
Maybe it was two swords per person.
No, it was just, "Here are two swords."
Per person? He was like,
"Yo, you're good.
Okay.
You're good. You have swords. You're fine."
Whatever.
It's weird, it's obscure, and...
They love obscure.
Almost as bad as the verse that Ted Cruz used to support their point.
Yeah. Because context means is everything.
All right, so yeah, that wraps up the news. So, we do have some feedback.
Yay!
From Carol via the website. John McCain was born in Panama, not George H.W. Bush. Yep, Carol, you were right. I am wrong. I goofed.
He was pretty embarrassed about that one.
I was speaking off the cuff, and I got it wrong.
Yeah, but you heard it from him, people.
Yep.
He got it wrong.
Yep. And
is she the only one who wrote in?
Yeah.
Wow, good for you, Carol.
Yeah.
Keep him on his toes.
I make mistakes, and I don't want to misinform people, so corrections are good to have.
Yeah.
Wrote into Waiting for Wrath, and they had a lot of fun with that. If you aren't already listening, you should listen to this last episode. Like, they were having enough fun with my correction that I sent in, that Jen was concerned that it might lead to a pod war.
I wish. We need something lively.
I know. We need to figure out how to do this. Also, if you have ideas on how to wage a pod war with Waiting for Wrath.
Can we just send them a bunch of skunk beer?
Most of them don't like really dark, multi-high alcohol beers.
All like the stuff you drink?
Like basically everything I drink. Not everything I do drink. Everything I like to drink.
There you go. Keep sending them Imperial Stouts.
Send them a bunch of Irish Death, some Quadricorn, basically everything from Edge.
Nice. I like it.
And we did get a donation via PayPal from Big Cartel. So thank you,
nice!
Big.
Nice. Finally, we have a Big Cartel on our side.
Thank you, Mr. Big. And that wraps it up for this week. We'll be recording our next episode at Camp Nomad.
Yeah.
With a small live cabin audience.
And hopefully a moose.
And hopefully moose.
I'm going to have to find a moose sound and play it.
And Lauren, thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.